You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, What Do You Want? What is it that if I followed you around or we followed you around this week or the next month, that we would find out maybe it's some private thing, maybe it's some sinful private thing, and really if the truth were known, that's exactly what you want because that's where your time, that's where your energy, that's where your effort, that's where your thought life, that's where everything about you kicks in, and that's really what you want. And you've done everything at any cost, put anything aside to pursue whatever it is that you want. Now, if you discover what that is and it's a godly thing, that's great. But if you discover that thing is not so godly, how do you change that? All right, first place I want you to turn is over to Proverbs. And I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. And if you're talking about what you want and what your passions are, if they're not what they're supposed to be, you've got to go to the inside, not the outside, to change these things. Another way to put passion is maybe what you desire. What is it that you desire? Here in Proverbs 8, 17, God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. There's another place in Psalm 37, and if you go to your left, you'll find Psalm 37, and this one may be a little more familiar to everybody, or to some of you who have read through the scriptures a little bit, but Psalm 37, and it's hard not to read the context here, so let's start with verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. And David here says, Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, I want you to go back up to verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, one way to look at this is to say, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then whatever you want, that's what he's going to give you. But another way I try to look at this and back into it is say, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the things that your heart desires. Those desires come from him. So it's not just what I want is what I get. When you delight yourself in him, now I've heard people quote this and say, you know, God will give you the desires of your heart. That's not what it says. It says if you delight yourself in him, if he is your pursuit, if he's your passion, if he's the one you're after and you delight in him, then it says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what happens to the desires of your heart when you delight in him? They change. And you'll see the thread hopefully in a minute when we get into the New Testament and some verses that we'll look at there. There are things that we want passionately even. They're just not right. They're not from God. They're not what's best for us. They're not intended. And I know people today who are very passionate about something. They say, well, I love someone and I'm going to marry him, or I've got to have this job, or I just the opportunity of a lifetime. And they really don't want to hear what God says about it. They want to do what they want to do because they're so passionate about it. You better make sure that you are more passionate about God than anything or anybody else, because when that passion is there for him, then the things that you desire fall into line with the things that he delights in and the things that he wants for you anyway. And you start pursuing anything but him, you're going to end up in trouble because great opportunities come along. There were girls that I loved before I got married that I didn't marry. You know why? It wasn't about just loving them. It was that I was waiting for my wife, and it was worth the wait. And it was the right thing to do to marry her, not just somebody, because I loved them or they were the ones in my path at the time. Now jump over to, let's look first in the book of Luke and go to Luke chapter 11. And I'll refer back up to this in a second, but the model prayer, this Our Father which art in heaven that people blow through and never give any thought about, they memorize as kids and don't even know what they're praying sometimes. Model prayer is in the first part of chapter 11, but let's pick up in verse 5 and then we'll jump around a little bit here. Jesus, after he gives them this Our Father model prayer, he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. I need three loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer, and look at these are important words, verse 7, from within. The guy is still in the bed in his house. So there's this knock on the door, this friend's out there knocking on the door, and hey! The guy's not even getting out of his bed because it's a little bitty house back then probably, and there was just a door and a room maybe, and everybody's piled in the same bed. This guy's banging on the door going, hey, wake up in there. And the friend answers from within, don't trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. Go away. He recognized the voice. It's not that it was a stranger, but the guy shows up with a specific need. I need food. Let me borrow three loaves of bread. Some friends showed up unexpectedly. I need your help. Get out of bed and help me. And the guy says, no, go away. We're in the bed. The door is shut. We're locked down. We're not getting up anymore. We're friends. Who cares? Go away. And Jesus is telling this story. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, he ain't going to get out of bed because this guy's his friend. Why is he going to get up? Yet because of his persistence, or this Greek word can be translated literally, shamelessness. I mean, what kind of guts does it take to just go wake somebody up and in spite of their saying, go away, nah, we're not coming, just persist and keep harassing this guy. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Not three, he says, here, take all the bread, go away. Leave us alone. Are you crazy? Now, that sounds like a bizarre picture to compare to prayer, but that's what he does. Look at the next verses. Verse 9, Jesus said, so I say to you, in this context, so I say to you, ask. And really, if you look at each one of these things, it's not just ask one time. It implies to keep on asking. And that's the context of the story we just told. Don't just ask one time. Keep asking. Ask, and it will be given to you, he says. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, now these are amazing things. Now guys, I'm going to tell you what, this is confusing stuff to people, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we read these verses, and it says ask, and you'll get it. It says seek, and you'll find it. And it says knock, and it'll be open. And there's stuff we've asked for we haven't gotten. There's stuff we've looked for we haven't found. And there's doors we've knocked on that haven't opened, right? You say, well, the Bible says that. I don't want to say the Bible's not true, but this isn't working out for me. So I quit praying because I'm tired of praying, asking, looking, knocking, and nothing happened. And Jesus says here, I'm telling you, if you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, that's amazing stuff. Now, either it works or it doesn't work. And if it's not working, why is it not working? And if you want it to work, how do you get it to work? Now, remember what we read in Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? It starts somewhere on the inside. It's not just random asking and badgering God for something. The problem may be, as we looked at last week in James, that we're asking, but we're asking amiss, that we consume it, that we just want it for ourselves, for our own pleasure. Instead of finding out what God wants and asking him what he desires for us and getting those desires and then going to him and say, God, I know this is what you desire. I know based on what the scripture says, it's what you want. And so I'm asking for this knowing that it's what you want to give me. Now, let me give you a great example of this. The scripture says that Jesus came, he lived, he died, was buried, raised from the dead so that none would perish. He wants all to be saved, right? So you say, well, I've got somebody on my heart, this prayer, a family member, a friend who does not have a personal relationship with God. They're living blind, dead, walking in the dark. It's just, it's meaningless, hopeless. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And I'm praying that their life will be changed, that they'll understand who God is. Now, is that a good prayer or a bad prayer? Is that right to pray that? It's not a trick question. Is it okay to pray that? Do you think that's God's desire? If you have a desire and a burden to pray for somebody, is it okay to pray? Now, what if you pray today that someone's life will be changed and they'll have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and this week it doesn't happen? Is it over? And see, there's a difference in childlike faith and childish faith. The Bible never says have childish faith. It says have childlike faith. And childlike faith continues to ask. My little 2-year-old's figured out this principle. And she has even figured out words that work because we have taught her to say, please. So she sees candy and says, Daddy, can I have some candy? And I say, no, sweetheart. And she says, please, 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 please. And she won't stop saying please till she gets another answer. Please, please. You know, you'd almost give her candy exactly to get rid of the please, please. Now see, why does she say, Daddy, can I have some candy? And when I say no, she goes, please, please, because she really wants that candy. Now let me tell you, and don't take this too far too quick, but let me tell you how I know what you really, 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 really want. It's what you won't let go of. And it's not that you can't be shaken. It's not that you can't be rattled. It's not that you can't be distracted. It's not that you can't lose faith or hope for a little while. But even if you get hit and you get knocked down a little bit, you stand back up and you go, you know what? I'm not backing off of this. I will stay after this till that person's dead or I'm dead, till death do us part. I'm not letting go. And if I can't do it by myself, I'm going to get other people around me and with me, and we're going to do it together. I'm not letting go. And you sink your teeth into something, and you say, I want this more than life itself, and I'm not letting go. Now, see, I watch my little girls in the same category about things. They see something. Oh, Daddy, I want that so bad. Will you buy that for me? And you say no, and they go, oh, well, and they walk off. But see, if you watch reoccurring requests, and they get in the same situation, Daddy, can I please have that bicycle? And there's begging involved, and it's reoccurring begging, and it's every time you go to that store in that situation, it keeps coming up. You know what? After a while, you go, I think she wants a bike. And she's probably not going to go away till she gets a no or a bike. And if it's in my power, and I believe it's best for her, and it's a blessing and a good thing, you know what? I'll find a way to give her a bike. And God sits on his throne, and he looks at us, and he goes, look, if you would want me more than anything else on the planet, then I'll tell you what I want for you, and you'll get whatever you want, because what you want, like we looked at last week, is what I want to give you anyway. I want to bless you, but I don't want to give you anything that will replace your passion, your desire, your love for me, because you'll run off and have an affair with that. Now look back through it in this context again, verse 9 again. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. I want you to turn over to Jeremiah 29. If you're over in Psalms in that area a minute ago, you're pretty close. Go to the right, Jeremiah 29. And again, I sometimes want to say these are familiar verses, but to some of you who've never seen them, don't even know they're in the book, so we're going to assume that nobody's ever seen them and read them. And let's start with verse 11, Jeremiah 29:11. And this is God speaking to his people. And guys, it's not just words. This is truth. And what he says to them, he says to me, and he says to you, this stuff is still true and it still works. And this is what he says, and I want you to try to personalize this. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the kind of God you're talking about, at least here. I don't know what other kind of God other people have, but there's only one God, and there's only one way to him through this book, at least, and that's through Jesus. And when you get to this God through Jesus, this is what he says. I'm thinking about you. I don't just love you. I think about you. You ever find yourself just thinking about somebody you love? And how cool they are? And that you love them, but beyond that, they're just your friend. You're like, wow, this is great. I got these friends like this. He says, I think about you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. My thoughts are of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, that's what most people are looking for, a future and some hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now look at verse 13, and if you underline in your Bible, underline this one. And you will seek me and find me. Now listen to this. You'll seek me and you will find me when. The next word is when, and here's your answer. When you search for me with all your heart. Now I've given you a description of a 2-year-old saying, please, 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 please. That's how you ask for something. That's how you keep asking for something. And finally, she gets a no and realizes that's not going to happen, or it works. And she gets what she wanted. And it's best for her, hopefully, in that case. The next one in there, verse 9, back in Luke 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. And as we just read in Jeremiah, it talks about seeking him. He says, seek, and you will find. If you've ever lost anything, I'll tell you how valuable it really is to you. It's determined by how fast you give up the search. See, if we're sitting in here today and some girl's got a new engagement ring or some woman's, let's go with a new engagement ring, and she looks down in the middle of the service and the stone is missing out of her ring. She just got it, for somehow she got hung on a prong, popped it loose. Let me tell you what's going to happen. She's going to be very distracted for the remainder of the service. And when we're out of here, there will be an all-out scouring of this building, a retracing of every step, because something of value has been lost. And she will go find it, and she will search for it. If you want to read a great story about that, it's in Luke chapter 15, about a woman who loses a coin in her house and gets up in the middle of the night, lights candles, sweeps the entire place until she finds it. If you have passion about something and you are searching for something, some people say, well, I'm searching for God. You know what? I can tell you who's searching for God or not. Because you follow them around, you talk to them, they're looking. You say, oh, well, they're going to this Buddhist temple and they're going over this Muslim mosque. And they're, you know what? They're searching. They're passionate. There's a drive. There's a desire. They want to know who God is. I respect that. Now, I don't think you'll find what you're looking for until you get to Jesus. But there are non-believers who are pursuing God more earnestly and more passionately than believers. Does everybody understand that? There are believers who have given up the pursuit. You know Him. You're in the family. You stop asking. You stop looking. You stop knocking. You've just given up. You've settled in and said, this is all I want. I'm going to die and go to heaven. I'm living like I want to. If I screw up, God's going to forgive me. He's got to. It's what grace is all about. And you're just on for the ride. But somewhere along the way, something inside you gets awakened, gets stirred, and you say, you know what, God, this isn't enough. So He says, if you ask, it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But it starts on the inside, guys. It starts in your heart. And when He is in control of your heart, then what starts happening is you start to ask for things that He wants you to have. And you start looking for things that He wants you to find. And you start knocking on doors that He wants you to knock on. And every time you ask, you get what you ask for. Every time you seek, you find it. And every time you knock, it's open. Now, it doesn't happen immediately all the time. It may take 20 or 30 years. And He gives some other examples in verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, and He's talking to these men, He says, look, any of you, if your son asks for bread, will He give him a stone? You wouldn't have your little kid and the kid asks for bread and you get a piece of rock that looks like bread and hand it to him and watch him sink his teeth into it. That's not the kind of fathers you are. That's not who God is. He's not going to do something like that to you. Or if He asks for a fish, will He hand him a snake instead of a fish? That's some kind of malicious, demented mind. Or if He asks for an egg, will He hand him a scorpion that'll sting him? If you then, Jesus says, if you then being evil, basically you're human beings, you're just men, you're evil basically. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And ultimately, guys, that's what you need. You need God. You need the person of the Holy Spirit living in you and say, God, I don't want you just living in me. I want you to fill me so that I'm overflowing and I don't know anything but you. I don't want anybody but you. I'm not passionate about anything, desire anything more than God Himself. I am in hot pursuit of God. Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing, touch my life and everybody's around me. Let me tell you something. When you're walking and talking with God, you're going to stop asking for certain things. You're going to stop looking for certain things. And you're certainly going to stop knocking on doors you were knocking on. Your life will change. You delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you, but He will change the desires of your heart. I'm telling you guys, go after God. Find out what you want and make it Him and go after Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Let me tell you something. You will either die or you will be there. One of those two intersects. And He's not going to let go. It cost Him His Son to make a relationship with me possible, and He's not going away. And even beyond what He wants to do in me, there's things that He wants to do through me and through you, and there's nobody He can do it through but you. There are things and people, there's stuff to be accomplished that nobody's going to get done but you. And every second of every day that we back down and say, God, I'll get to you later. I got to go chase this for a few years. This is my life. This is my passion. This is what I want. And God says, but what about me? When are we going to get together? When are we going to talk about what I made you to do? And incorporate these things. Maybe eliminate it, maybe incorporate it. Now you say, well, you're just too wound up about this God stuff. You know why? Because I'm tired of making stupid decisions that get me in trouble and chasing everything but Him and wasting the only life I've got and the only life you've got. There's one other place I want you to turn, and that's over in Luke 18. We'll look at one more spot in the same context. Luke 18, 1, Jesus again. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And the point of this story he's about to tell was to say, you ought to always pray and don't lose heart. And he said to him, verse 2, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She is wearing me out. And if I don't do what she's asking me to do, she is not going to stop coming. Now, guys, I'm not saying this is about harassing God, but there is scriptural basis and evidence here for not backing down, especially if God puts something in your heart to pursue, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Then the Lord said, verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The kind of faith that will persist and persevere. Now see, it's easy to say, well, I believe in God. I have faith. I'm a Christian. You can throw all these words out. But when you start putting your life, these words in your life together, let me tell you something. It's going to bear fruit. Something is going to happen. Something is going to change. There is going to be a faithfulness, a consistency. There's going to be a determination, a persistence, a locking on that says, you know what? I'm not letting go. God, you're not letting go of me, and I'm not letting go of you. And until something happens here, this is going to be a wild ride. There's a great story of a guy named Jacob in the Old Testament who literally wrestled with an angel and said, I'm not letting go till you bless me. Now, he got injured in the process and limped the rest of his life, but he held on and said, look, I got you. And I'm not letting go till you do what I'm asking you to do.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And see, some of you got marriages falling apart, and you're that close to saying, you know what, the heck with it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't see any hope. I don't see any light. And God's put a desire in your heart for that person, that husband, that wife. And you're saying it's never going to work. And you're looking at what you know and what you see instead of who he is and what he's put in your heart. And if he says it's going to work, I don't care if it takes 20, 30 years. We got those in the room too, who marriages were over, feelings were gone, sex was a non-issue, at least with each other. And God came along and said, I've heard your cry. Now, I don't know why he waits. I don't know what takes time. You can go read in the book of Exodus where the children of Israel have been captive in Egypt under taskmasters, it says, and all of a sudden God shows up and he says, I've heard your cry. I've seen your oppression. I've not forgotten my covenant. I made a deal with you. And they persisted and they cried and they begged God to come and relieve their pain. And you know what? He avenged them. You say, but it's taken too long. That's his business. My job is to not let go. My job is to not give up. My job is to go after him and to listen to him and pursue him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might, with everything I've got. And say, God, I don't know what you're doing up there or doing in here, but I got nowhere else to go because nobody can do what you can do. See, you got a marriage in trouble? Where are you going to go to fix it? You can go to all the counselors in the world, and I'm not knocking that, but if God doesn't do something miraculous in your home, it ain't going to work, is it? You're trying to find a spouse to begin with. Where are you going to look? You're going to have to trust him to bring him along, to intersect your path. But you got to be faithful till it happens and not pursue that more than him and trust him to bring it to pass. And we got plenty of great stories on that one. But sometimes it takes time and it's not fun. But the question again is, what do you want? Do you want what he wants? Do you want what you want? And are you willing to persist in prayer and hang in there until he brings it to pass?
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.